You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Lou Need, your host, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Laura Pennington. Laura spent most of her life preparing to be an educator and then burnt out after working as a middle school teacher in Baltimore City. After she started a freelance writing career on the side, she quickly replaced and surpassed her day job earnings and hit the six-figure mark in just 18 months. Since 2013, she's worked full-time for herself, helping clients and project management by leveraging time management and digital teams. She now teaches others how to build fulfilling lifestyle businesses from home as a coach. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I am too. Looking forward to our conversation today. Hiring a digital team and finding your first virtual assistant.
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell us how can a person get started with their freelancing business?
I think the most important thing to do is to evaluate all of the skills that you already have. And then if you're still coming up short and thinking, okay, I don't know that I have enough skills that are marketable, start thinking about things that you're passionate about, where you could learn more about the specific software skills or strategies for that particular thing before jumping in with this as your side hustle.
Mm-hmm. And so you started as a side hustle, and then you kind of took your monkey bar over to doing it full time.
Yes, I wanted to make sure that this was something that was sustainable. So it took me quite a while to build up to having the confidence to do this full time.
Mm-hmm. And you were a teacher to begin with, and now you're still teaching, but you're teaching a different population as a coach.
Yeah, I love that because there's still always a part of me that really enjoys teaching and helping people. And for a long time, that was missing when I was just doing my freelance business. So it's been really nice to be able to fold that teaching component back in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a drive. It's a passion for you. If you found your purpose, you knew your purpose all along. And so freelancing alone is not going to satisfy that need, but bringing others up along the way, teaching others.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and it's been really nice to understand how other people approach freelancing and some of the common challenges and struggles they have with it.
Yeah, since 2013, I mean, kudos. That's excellent.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, tell us a little bit about VAs. There have been a lot of buzz around virtual assistants and how to get one and what kind of task to outsource to them. Now, I know that's a big part of your business. So tell us a little bit about how do you select a VA? Where do you go to get one?
Yeah, you have to figure out first what it is you want to outsource to the VA, because not every virtual assistant is good at or wants to do the same types of tasks. So it's important to think about how either, you know, is there one specific task you want done and that's going to take up a bulk of their time? We want to look for someone who's an expert in that. Or if it's a grouping of different tasks, how can we put those together? So say someone who's posting your YouTube videos could be the same person who's posting your blog and doing social media, but they might not be the same person who's doing your bookkeeping, right? So separating things out that way. I love checking out freelance job boards like Upwork, and the best way to get a virtual assistant is really to ask for referrals in your entrepreneur community. Who have other people had a good experience with is a great way to get started.
And just because they are virtual doesn't mean they have to be out of the country.
Yeah, they can really be anywhere. And that's what's great for you as the business owner is to decide, you know, who is the best person for the job. It may not have any impact where they're currently located, but that way you can decide on somebody based on talent and personality, not just geography.
Right, right. And, you know, until you mentioned it, I didn't think of a VA as a social marketing person. You hire somebody to do marketing for you. You just tell them what content you want out and the frequency, and they can take care of that, get it off your plate.
Yes, some virtual assistants are not just interested in social media, but they really love it. And I've found that a lot of them are better at it than I would be. So it feels good to hand off something like that to a team member who's really passionate about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you find that they're younger as well?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, a lot of times the VAs who specialize in social media are doing so because they're drawn to that social media platform themselves. So they might only help you with your Pinterest, for example, but that's because they're really good at Pinterest.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. I'm taking notes because that can be very useful.
Yeah.
To get a VA involved. That way you can focus on working on the business, not in the business. Right? The little task, because you got to be able to delegate so you can think of the bigger things. So you can dominate. I like to say delegate so you can dominate.
Yeah. If you find that you're spending all of your time doing administrative tasks, doing social media, you're really wasting other opportunities to grow your company because there's only so many hours in the day. And if you're growing your business the right way, those aren't the best use of your time anyways. And your VA may be able to do it better and faster.
Mm-hmm. So the digital team, you find individuals and then put them together and have them collaborate on a project? How does that work?
Yeah. So I usually add team members sort of one at a time based on what the individual need is. And then I'll tell them throughout the hiring process, maybe a little bit about our team. You know, like my team has people in multiple different time zones. So there's no need for them to ever be on a Skype or a Zoom call together. But I do kind of expect that they can, you know, self-manage on a project management platform like Trello. So I'll always tell someone before they come on, hey, this is so-and-so, he does this, this is so-and-so, she manages my social media and graphic design, just so that they know who to go to when they have questions, especially if their tasks are going to intersect with people already on my team.
Mm-hmm. So you can be a one-woman operation with a lot of virtual or digital teams along with essentially you don't have employees.
Right. You don't really need to. A lot of solopreneurs are, at least in the United States, we're not comfortable with hiring employees unless it's absolutely necessary because there are some legal and tax implications that come along with that. A lot of VAs aren't even comfortable working in an employee situation. They want to be independent contractors so they can work on other projects as well and have more flexibility in their schedule. So you can work with VAs on a very short-term basis. I hired a VA just to help me with the launch of my book for 3 months, or you can work with people on a longer-term basis and have them on retainer and you can be using them every single, you know, week or month.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. It's not, it won't be long term unless it's a ongoing project that you need, or if a VA is like an assistant to you.
Yes, absolutely. So you decide when you're putting together the job description, okay, how am I going to be upfront with this person? When I hired my author's assistant, I was very clear with her. I said, I need you for at least 3 to 4 months. I can't guarantee anything beyond that, but we might be able to continue working together. And then with some of my other VAs, I've explained to them, you know, my goal is really to hire somebody for the long term. I need X, Y, and Z every single month. And it helps clarify those expectations up front for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really am intrigued about that, the whole VA and digital team idea. Because their solopreneurs don't have also the funding to get employees and have to deal with the laws that comes with it. And here you can actually hand select your team members. And if they're not performing, you know, you don't have to do performance evaluations.
Yeah, you totally decide what the working relationship is going to look like and, you know, build a team that really suits you and your personality as well, which can also make things more efficient, effective, everybody's happier. So it's really great that you can customize it to that level.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your TEDx talk.
Yeah, so I wanted to do a TEDx talk because freelancing and the number of freelancers all over the world is really affecting the workforce, and it's really changing the way that people are working on digital projects. And I really wanted to raise some awareness around that and talk to people who might not be familiar with why freelancing today looks different than how it might have looked in the past.
Yeah, even just as you were talking about independent contractors, that too looks different than it did in the past.
Yeah.
Because we've moved to the knowledge era now, right? It's not the industrial era anymore. It's not construction anymore. It's really what resources, how can you use your skill set as we started, right? You said being able to evaluate all skill sets and identify how can you use that to serve another person.
Yes. So many things have changed. And I think that we owe it to the generation that is in college right now, in high school right now, coming up on graduation in the next 10 years, to prepare them for how work and even work as an independent contractor looks different, so they know about all of their options and are best prepared when they do graduate.
So that they can hone it into their gifts now.
Yes.
And not focus on getting a brick mortar type of job. You know, you go to school to be an engineer, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer. And there's a lot more. The scope has is bigger now of the different jobs and jobs that one can do. And I think that a lot of that stems from people living in their, identifying what their gifts are and living into in that, because it's different and unique, you know?
Yeah. And I think that we have such an opportunity to define what that looks like for each one of us. You know, what are your passions and your interests? Like, where do you see trends coming in, you know, the future years with regard to what skills are going to be in demand? And you can kind of line up your career choices, and then the education you pick up yourself, it might not be traditional in the form of a university, right? But you could invest in courses and books and even listening to podcasts like this one to figure out like how to be successful in this kind of world.
Yeah, I love to say success leaves clues. Success leaves a trail. Yes. And so learn from those that came before you. And that's why I'm so excited to have you on board, because it's intriguing to talk to freelancers. It's intriguing to talk to you that have taken the leap, you know, from your day job to pursue a career of your passion. That's it. That is inspiring.
Oh, good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about multiple businesses. Mm-hmm. How can you grow multiple businesses at the same time, utilizing, as we're talking about, different, using different skill sets? How do we not get overwhelmed if we want to tap into our gifts and build business out of?
Well, it goes back to what we were just talking about in part, because you have to have a digital team to help you. When I decided to fold in, you know, doing public speaking, writing books, and coaching other freelancers, I knew that I couldn't operate the freelance writing side of my business like I'd been doing before. So I really looked for ways that I could change that, so that I could be as effective with my time as possible. And part of that was delegating to a team. It's also about deciding, you know, what's most important for you right now. The new business that you begin to build might not be as financially successful as the other one right away, but you have to have that patience to know that you're working towards building something that you really care about, and not just, you know, comparing the two on financial purposes alone.
Mm-hmm. And what brings you fulfillment, what brings you joy, mm-hmm. that comes to you naturally. So how would a person optimize and scale their business then, using digital teams and VAs?
I think that is definitely one way to do it. It's also about realizing that you can't and shouldn't offer everything to everyone. So the longer that you're in business, the more you'll recognize where your sweet spot is and really hone in on just a couple of core offerings where you're lit up by each one of those passions, right? Like, so I don't offer 10 different forms of coaching. It's pretty simple. You can buy a one-time strategy session, or you can work with me one-on-one for 3 months. Of course, that's going to exclude some people who might have hoped for something more in the middle. But because I manage multiple businesses, I have to be very intentional about what I do put out there and the commitments that I make. So you have to be very intentional when you're making these decisions. You know, even with bringing on new freelance writing clients, I think very carefully about, okay, how is this person and this company going to fit into the mix of my freelance business? How will this affect, if at all, the other components of my business, like my digital team or like the coaching that I do?
Yeah, because you can't outsource your coaching. You can't outsource creating content. You can't outsource your writing.
Right.
And so you need a strong team around you to make that part of your world easier, free up your time so you can actually do that, because that is pivotal to your business, the growth of your business.
Yes, absolutely. Mm.
So what are some other examples of lifestyle businesses?
I think anything that you can do from anywhere in the world, or you can have as flexible terms as possible. So you could own your own blog, those types of things where you don't need to have a lot of physical products make it really easy to travel, right? So I know a lot of digital nomads who live out of RVs or who kind of travel around the world visiting different Airbnbs in different countries because they can. All they really need is their computer. So before starting a business, think about, okay, what tools and products do I need to support me doing this? If it's something that can be done mostly digitally, like blogging, like creating videos, even being an influencer is a type of a lifestyle business. You know, what can you do that will build a following and generate something that brings in revenue, but is also in line with, you know, personally where you're at in your current place in life?
That's exciting. It's exciting yeah. to be alive at this time of age, this era, because yeah. there's so many things you can do, so many options in terms of how to best use your time. You don't have to no longer be stuck at a 9-to-5 anymore and be miserable and work for 40 hours and be unhappy and get a retirement check. You can actually go out and explore the world as long as you can work from anywhere.
Yeah. And I think that that is so exciting that we live in this time where we have so much more choice over what it looks like for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, really exciting times to be alive. I was going to ask what your TEDx talk on topic was on.
Yeah. I talked a lot about freelancing sort of and how it has changed the workforce. So the fact that we are soon going to have more freelancers in the US economy than we will have traditional employees, and really high numbers of millennials, Gen X, and Gen Z are looking into freelancing as an option, and not something that's just temporary, but really a lot of them are choosing to replace their full-time career with it and are, you know, making good money and using it to launch other dreams and businesses as well. So I really talked about how freelancing has changed, why companies choose to work with freelancers, and what to know before you start a freelance career.
Yeah, big companies were doing it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Using contractors because they don't have to pay for their life insurance or any benefits whatsoever. So it's cheaper that way. So it's now individual solopreneurs are doing it too. And it's good for the economy. It's really great.
Yeah. The fact that we have so many people starting their own online business, eventually they need virtual assistants or other freelancers as well. So it's sort of this cycle that keeps, you know, feeding into itself where there's a really high demand for quality freelancers.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as an educator, how do we tie this back together? What advice would you give teachers on how to train the upcoming generation? Because we know there's a shift in the job market.
Yeah, I think it starts with encouraging students to be creative, presenting the different options that students have in front of them, and asking them to think outside the box. In addition to training students to be critical thinkers and to have great comprehension skills, let's encourage them to be as innovative and creative as possible. You know, ask them if they've ever thought about being an entrepreneur, ask them what intrigues them about this technology-driven world we live in today, and allow that to feed into ideas for projects and even class-wide activities that can be done to help spur that interest in technology.
Right. So not just using, you know, we say they're tech savvy, not just using technology for social media or recreational purposes, but actually monetize it, build a business around
it. So they have some experience with it and then can use that to, you know, gain a full-time employment offer for someone who's looking for those skills or to build their own business.
Yeah, I really like that. I look forward to that future.
Yeah.
Laura, tell me, how do you get up, dress up, and show up to do what you do and run your business and live a passion-filled life?
I think it really starts with having great routines in place. You can't live sort of a haphazard life. So I love to have a very similar routine every day, every morning, do the same things. It helps to set the tone and kind of tell my brain like, oh, hey, we're transitioning into work mode. It's time to be focused. You know, you need to be on point for the rest of the day. I think that really helps me feel like I'm getting a good start.
Yeah. So what are some of the habits, the rituals that you do?
Well, first of all, I don't check my email first thing in the morning. It took a long time to break that habit, but I try to wait to do that until it's officially business hours. I love to have 10 quiet minutes at the beginning of every morning. I just kind of sit there and drink my coffee, get my head straight, you know, make that formal transition from, you know, being asleep to starting to think about work activities. I also exercise every single morning and usually listen to something either inspirational or some type of a meditation video to sort of kick things off. And then I will really just hit the ground running with my work from there.
Fantastic. And that takes you less than half hour.
If you don't include it goes pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. And that's all. Sometimes that's all it takes. It's like, it's 10 to 15 minutes to actually prime yourself for your day. If you want to have a primal day, you got to prime in the morning. And you do all that with not going through emails or social media. Like, you want the 10 minutes of quiet time to yourself before letting the rest of the world in. It's like imperative in growth and having a more productive day. That's like, science has shown it, is behind it, showing that doctors and psychologists says whatever you do in the first 8 minutes of the morning of your day will set the tone for the rest of your day.
I believe that. And I think that once you get into the habit of doing your morning routine, the days that you skip it for whatever reason, you can feel it. The day drags on. You feel kind of off the entire day. It's so much easier to just carve out that 10 to 15 minutes and say, hey, this is a non-negotiable.
Yeah, it's motivation alone to know that I know what's going to happen if I don't do this, you know?
Yeah, that's so true.
Because like this morning I've been interviewing all morning and I didn't get a chance to meditate. I was fine until 4 p.m. And it's just like this mental fog came over me. And I was like, ah, that's what it is. Usually I have endurance to go on through the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's trippy. Oh, it's so trippy. But again, it's a habit of mine. I do it every day. So this morning I missed it. Therefore, the body's looking for it. And it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
So Laura, tell us, how can we connect with you?
You can visit my website, which is betterbizacademy.com.
Fantastic. I thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing about educating. How do we educate our kids going forward with the shift in the job market and the way it's changed, to the freelancing world has changed, and that it's going to create a numerous, unlimited jobs because we have all these like skillful people, all this talent, just, you know, walking around ready to actually serve one another. That's the beauty of it, is seeing how everyone's going to use their skills and talents, and currently doing it now as a solo entrepreneur, as a coach, you're doing this right now, is being able to use our talent to actually elevate and bring and help others grow as well. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show. I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.